Hi there, you're warmly welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose tackling no fewer than 10 Saturday races live on ITV. We've got five from Kelso, three from Doncaster and two from Newbury. We'll also see what else the boys fancy on Saturday, and Keith really fancies one on Sunday. It's not great racing on Sunday, but Keith sussed one, so we'll get that as well. Before we kick on with the Saturday TV fair, though, Cheltenham is, but let me see now, it's only 10 days away, so we'll have a quick Cheltenham chat, I think. And DJ, what going are you working on? Because in recent years, everyone's been kind of, oh, regardless whether it's been a dry winter or a wet winter, everyone says, oh, it'd be good to soft in places come Tuesday and we don't need to worry about it. Is that what you're working on? I mean, it's been a lot of rain lately.
There has, yeah. Last week, I was thinking it might be a good deal kind of softer. I think they're always going to call it kind of good soft, but I thought it might be a bit softer than advertised. But it seems to be the last few days has been, well, over here anyway, I don't know about you, there's been a lot of drying out. And
no, we've had a ton of rain. We've had a lot of rain. So, yeah, we'll have to see. Okay. How much does the going affect you and what you fancy now? Would you hope it dries out, or would you hope it absolutely chucks it down?
It's funny, I was actually looking through kind of my list, and it's kind of betwixt and between. Like, on the soft side, the good is perfect for most of them, and that's what everybody seems to want. But I wouldn't mind seeing rain in the latter stages of the week, because I think Ryle Pagai could run a big race in the Gold Cup, and Manila Crooner would be fine on that ground as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind rain towards the end of the week. So a dry first 3 days and then a bit of rain would be very helpful.
Okay, and Keith, my question for you is, the handicap weights have come out this week. How excited did you get there, and which race did you latch onto? Was there one particular horse or one particular weight that made you think, whoa, hang on a sec?
I get less excited about the handicap weights than I used to, because I don't watch as much Irish racing as I used to. And obviously the handicap weights is mostly about the Irish marks, or occasionally these novice hurdlers, and I don't watch as many hurdles as I used to either. The Ultima is looking a fascinating race. I've already had two bets in it. I've had about five Cheltenham Anti-Post bets, and two of them are in the Ultima. So that's a race that's going to potentially have a big impact on my week.
Who have you backed?
I've backed
Hello, who are they?
Yeah, Kiltili Briggs, backed him ages ago. And he was 20s, 25s at the time. I think you're still getting 18s. Another one, the conditions are the issue, but Correct Rambler is undoubtedly chucked in 140. Definitely a miles better horse than that. So I've backed him as well.
Okay. And DJ, very quickly, you obviously, you earn absolute fortunes this fortnight doing every single Cheltenham preview show in Ireland. Tell me the one thing that made your ears prick up that you've heard while you've been hitting the Irish preview circuit so hard.
This probably isn't a nugget, and it's not something that you're going to make money off or anything, but I was on a preview with Dave at Mullins on Wednesday night, and it came to the Champion Chase, and I did a kind of a poll in the crowd. Who do they think Paul Towner will ride, Shaka Bersois and Enner Gamine? And obviously there's been a little bit of a doubt about Enner Gamine, but I spoke to Willie this morning and he's fine. But David said, came to the Champion Chase and everybody went through their tips, and it came to David and he goes, Enner Gamine is like the best horse Willie has in the yard by a mile. And I was like, whoa. And he was like, yeah. He goes, I don't think you saw the real Enner Gamine at Ascot at all, he said. I know it looked like he jumped really well, he said, but I didn't think he was getting away from his fences like he can. And he thinks he's by far the best horse in Willie Mullins' yard, and that there is no debate whatsoever about who Paul Townend will ride in the championship. He will ride Enner Gamine, and he's very good mates with Paul Townend. So I thought that was very interesting.
See, I thought it's you say he must be the best horse in the yard. I assume that given there's debate about who Townend will ride, I assume Shaka Bersois must work like a monster. Because if you look at what they're doing on the course and what he's done when he's come over to Britain, there's just not a contest there. It's got to be an argument, but there seems to be debate. So I assume
Shaka. Yeah, but Keith, the reason for that is that Shaka doesn't have to run up a big hill at Willie's, and he doesn't have to go full tilt for 2 miles. So he probably does flatter at home. Do you know what?
He probably does, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. As Mullins is talking, or David Mullins there, saying that Enner Gamine's the best horse in the yard. But,
well,
you know,
I mean, if you look at that Ascot race, guys, don't forget that, you know, that was over an extra furlong. Now, I've got Shishkin down as a 3-miler for some ludicrous reason, still being delayed in getting to where he should be. And I think 2 miles at Cheltenham, I think Enner Gamine's got a great chance. I mean, I'm delighted to hear that, DJ, because the drift did make you kind of think, well, hang on a sec, maybe there's something wrong or whatever. But I think Enig Amin now is getting to really interesting each way kind of
territory.
Yeah.
And just on the drifts, like for listeners, like the reason that these drifts get so much coverage is because it's Cheltenham and there's so much liquidity in the anti-post markets. But the one thing I will say about these drifts, like horses get nicks and scrapes and little problems every day of the week. Like ask any trainer and they'll say there was a problem with such and such a horse this morning. It's just the fact that because there's liquidity in the Betfair markets that we kind of find out about them. But most of these problems generally turn out to be okay and they recover from them very quickly. So that's the reason I think there's all these drifts anyway.
Interesting. Okay, gents, let's get stuck into Saturday's TV action. We'll start at Kelso. The 132 is the Bet365 Premier Novices Hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. The going is soft and we've got 9 runners. Richmond Lake is fav at 2-1. North Lodge is 3-1. Sholok Jack is sixes and it's 8-1 bar. And Keith, we'll start with you. Kelso, is that's not too far from where you grew up, is it, as a nipper?
No, not too far. I mean, I'm from Edinburgh, so it's a sort of equivalent of maybe Plumpton to you or something like that in terms of distance. So yeah,
it's very much a course that I'd love to visit. It looks a beautiful part of the world.
I don't think the view from Kelso Racecourse itself is all that, to be honest. I've been to Kelso loads, but that part of the world, yeah, you do get some absolutely lovely bits down in the borders. I certainly wouldn't put you off a visit up there. If you go into the press room at Kelso, everybody moans about how hard it is to get to, but the borders are a lovely and remote bit of Scotland.
And if I was on my way up to Kelso tomorrow and I've got there in time for the 132, who would I be backing?
It's a cracking race, just I want to say first of all. You know, this Premier Novice Hurdle has really, really come on. The horse I might be backing in the race. Now, I was absolutely taken by Charlotte Jack at Weatherby. I think he's going to be a really good horse next year and people are going to read into what happened with my Drogo last year that the Skeleton sent up. I'm going to have maybe a little bit on Bold Endeavour. He's 8-1. I think he's 8-1 because the last time you saw them at Weatherby when he ran there in January, it was very foggy, so you missed half the race. But when he was off the bridle quite a way out, but he really, really did power home. He's dropping in trip now, but I think Weatherby shows he really handles the soft conditions and he's going to get those again at Kelso. The trip might be a touch on the sharp side. He might end up being a 3-miler, but I'd be amazed if he was a lesser horse than any more than one or two of these in time. And I think part of it is the fact that, you know, it's Laura Morgan training and she's still on the way up, really, but a very handy trainer. I think he's a better 8-1.
Okay, Keith's right. There's a cracking race, this, isn't it, DJ? A lot of very progressive types.
Yeah, and do you know what? When you go through the past winners, like my Drogo won it last year, Rouge Vip 2019, Le Prisien 2016, and even Clever Cookie won it in 2014. So it is always a decent race, even though it's very close to Cheltenham. Look, I am of the opinion that the best handicapped hurdler in England is a horse called Might Eye, that's trained by Harry Fry. He's rated 135. And if I think Might Eye is the best handicapped horse in training, then I think Richmond Lake is going to win this. He was a length and three quarters ahead of him in the Supreme Trial at Haydock back in January. Now, Might Eye probably would have finished second if he didn't get tightened up after the last and had to switch out. I think he probably would have finished second. But Richmond Lake, I think that was a real good run. Now, Richmond Lake ran against North Lodge at Aintree back in December, but the weights were completely different that day to what they are here. And with North Lodge, the race last time at Balco, that he beat Balco Coastland, there was a load of hurdles that weren't jumped, so it was a really long run in. And I do think that probably suited North Lodge. Richmond Lake here is getting £5 from North Lodge, and I think that's going to be sufficient for him to beat him here and reverse that form. I thought that was a good run of Haydock. Talked the time before at Sedgefield, he looked like a proper horse, even though he was long odds on. I think he's very good, Richmond Lake, and I think he'll win.
Thank you, gents. The 205 at Kelso is the Bet365 handicap hurdle. We've got 11 runners, 2 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip. And as with our first race, those beautiful, iconic silks of the late Trevor Hemmings are being carried by the favourite, in this case, Famous Bridge at 7-2. It's 9-2, Heart of Steel, 6-1, Wild About Oscar, 8-1, Elvis Mail, 9-1, Night in Milan, and 10 bar. DJ, over to you first.
Yeah, I think Famous Bridge will win. Like, he's only gone up a pound for that run at Kelso. He fell at the second last. He was in front when he came down. And it was a funny sort of a fall. He kind of landed out awkwardly. He beat a horse called High Stakes in a novice hurdle at Ayr back in November, and High Stakes ran poor last time, but the time before at Lingfield, I thought High Stakes ran an absolute cracker that day. He looks to me like a horse we haven't seen the best of yet, Famous Bridge, and off 118, it's only a second handicap. I think he would have won the first of them. I think he's well treated, Bruce. I'd say he'll be hard to beat.
Two races, two favourites tipped for DJ. Are you going to be slightly more intrepid here, Keith?
Probably even more trepid, because I mean, Famous Bridge deserves to be favourite, and I agree mostly with DJ's saying. I wouldn't be. I saw a few other interesting horses to make me think 72 is not a price I'm that interested in, and for me, it's a no bet race.
Okay, 240 at Kelso then is the. Oh, it's the big race. Not just, I mean, this is bigger than any Cheltenham Festival race, isn't it? This, it's the Bet 365 Premier Chase over 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs. There are seven runners. Here are the prices: 2-1 Espoir de Rome, 7-2 Itchy Feet, 6-1 Windsor Avenue, 7-1 Nutswell, 8-1 Big River. Yes, 8-1 Big River. You did hear that correctly. 8 Dingo Dollar and 16 Hill 16, appropriately. I'll go first. Big River, 11 races at Kelso in his career. 8 wins, 2 seconds, brought down when absolutely cruising in the other one. He's on a hat trick. He's absolutely bomb-proof at Kelso. And he's insulted by those moronic bookmakers at 8-1. Absolutely ridiculous. Right, next up, the 350. No, I will let the lads have their say. Come on, boys. Who wants to go first? Keith?
Yeah, that was my nap of the weekend landed. Big River get his big up from Bruce. I mean, yes, his course record is absolutely phenomenal. He's never had to run off levels with graded horses, has he? So he comes here, he'll run a great race. He's 8-1 and probably deserves to be. It's a really fascinating race. I mean, there's part of me that wants to see Espoir de Rome be the monster that he once looked. You know, was he going to beat Chantry House? I'm not entirely sure, but he was certainly shaping like the better horse than Chantry House when he came down at Aintree. He's obviously been a little bit tough to train. Hopefully, you know, if he picks them up and carries them, then I'll take that one on the chin. But the bet for me in this race is Windsor Avenue. A lot of parallels with Cloth Cap last year, who had been a once frustrating handicapper, got the headgear on, had his big day in a handicap, and then took the next step to win this race. That was Cloth Cap, obviously. This year, Windsor Avenue's got a very similar profile. First time blinkers, last time in the Sky Bet, won that race, having been ridden a lot more aggressively. That tends to be the way to ride them at Kelso. And, you know, Espoir de Rome probably has bigger items on his agenda. Itchy Feet, is he going to go through with it? He's got the first time blinkers on, we might find out. Nutswell's carrying the full penalty. Big River, bless him, is just a good handicapper. Dingo Dollar's probably going to Aintree. Hill 16 are trying to get into the Grand National. So Windsor Avenue's the bet for me.
Who's the bet for you, DJ?
Oh, Bruce, I hate myself. Look, your Big River is my Itchy Feet, but the big difference is Big River actually wins races. and Itchy Feet doesn't. He is just the most frustrating animal, because this horse has so much ability. And I promised myself the day they do put blinkers on him, I will have to get Rowan behind him, because like he's had 19 starts in his career. I think for everything bar when he won the bumper at Stratford on a second start, I think we've said he looks like he needs blinkers. So Ollie Murphy has finally called for the blinkers here and now, and he's just he has his own ideas about the game, obviously, but talent wise I think he's the best horse in the race. I think the track might suit him, and you know what, I've been giving him a very hard time over the last couple of years, because I thought he was a proper top notch grade one horse, and he hasn't fulfilled that potential. But you know what, when you go through his form, third to Fakir de Dar is at Aintree, second to All Mankind in the Old Rowan, second to Brave Man's Game, beating 2¾ lengths, giving him £4. Then the most remarkable run you'll ever see last time at Lingfield in that really valuable chase. When 2 for Gold won it, that form was boosted by 2 for Gold, who was second to Fakir de Dar in the Ascot Chase. Bristol Amai was third. He's franked the form since as well. Maybe it wasn't as bad a run as I thought at the time. And I think Kelso might suit him. I think it might. There's a rail kind of most of the way up the straight from when they turn from the third last around. If you can get that rail...
Unusual, that, for a race course, isn't it, to have a rail up the straight?
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just thinking they're turning a lot in the last... They're turning... They kind of turn from the third last the whole way home. They kind of turn, and I think if he does get the rail, and just gets a bit of momentum, I think he might go through with it in the blinkers. He's just so frustrating, Bruce, but I just, with the blinkers on, I have to go in again.
The blinkers have been put on so that he doesn't get too disheartened when Big River comes past him once they jump the last. Okay, right, we move on to the 3:15 at Kelso now. And it's the Bet365 More Battle Hurdle over 2 miles. 51 grand. Great prize money at this. And they've got a good field here. 11 go to post. 3-1 the field. That's Metier from Harry Fry's stable, who's fav. Boover Dare, how about that? Welcome back to the magnificent Boover Dare. He's now 11 and he's 4-1. Autumn Evening is 6s. Cormier is 15-2. Favoir 8s. 9-1 Sandaru. Blimey, this is our French lesson. And 9-1 Severance. 16-1 Bar. DJ, you're first.
Right, Bruce, I'll tell you how I approached this race earlier on in this week. I approached the race thinking that is absolutely fantastic. I have my bet for the weekend. I have my charity bet on another show that I do. It's going to be Autumn Evening. What a brilliant piece of placing by Jessica Harrington. This horse was so eye-catching last time at Leopardstown. Traded really short and running in the Labracurdle and looked like he was definitely going to win. And then just, you know, Sean O'Keefe, I'd say, would love to have it back. He just got there too soon and he was beaten by Call Me Lyreen. And then I seen that he is rated 147. I go, yeah, that's fair enough. I suppose he's up £9 from his previous mark that he ran off in Ireland, but it's fair enough. And then I go, hold on a second here. Boover Dare is only given Autumn Evening £6. And these are polar opposite horses. And to me, I just think the handicapper has massively given Boover Dare a chance here. Like, it's kind of crazy how he's tumbled down the ratings. Like, this is the same Boover Dare that was rated 172 in April of 2019. So less than 3 years ago, he was rated 172. Even when he ran in the Aintree Hurdle last April, he was fourth Abracadabras, but he was basically second. Like, he only lost, it says even in the comments and run, I think, that he lost two places inside the final 100 yards. He was basically second to Abracadabras, and he wasn't helped there because he was pulled, he was too keen and the loose horse hampered him. I thought that was a cracking run there, and the handicappers dropped him from 158 to 153. Now, the handicapper has obviously been quicker to lower older horses, and you know, Boover Dare obviously is not as good as he was. He's 11. But the fact that they're persistent with Boover Dare suggests to me that he's working fine. I think this is a brilliant piece of placing by Nicky Henderson. And we know he goes well fresh because his best ever performance, to me, I know he won 2 champion hurdles, but his best ever performance was when he beat Sam Crow in that Fighting Fifth in 2018. That was him at his brilliant best. Somerville Boy was in there as well. That was on the back of a 263-day break from the previous year when he won the champion hurdles. Goes well fresh, likes the ground, tracks should be fine. He's running off a ridiculously low mark. I think Boover Dare will win.
Fantastic summary there, DJ. DJ is erudite best. Really interesting case there. Keith, what do you make of this? It's lovely to have Boover Dare back, isn't it? You forget, because he's probably slightly underrated given what he's done in that brilliant career, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a dual champion hurdle winner, and I would suggest, though, if you look at all the dual champion hurdle winners down the years, you know, he'd be outsider of the field if they all raced against each other, I suspect.
Really?
Oh, I think possibly so.
He'd be Hardy, wouldn't he?
He'd beat Hardy. Yeah, he probably would beat Hardy. Again, though, Hardy would probably get the lead in that race.
Okay. Again, what do you make of this?
On a fantasy race. It'd be great to see if he won. Because, yeah, as DJ says, the handicapper has definitely given him a chance, and he did shape really well in that Aintree Hurdle last year. This race, I sort of took, I'm watching chases more, and I came in from that sort of angle. I've been watching Favoir all year over fences, and this horse has got a proper engine. It is a really, really talented horse. I don't think a horse has really taken to fences all that well. So they ran him back in the Kingwell. I always forget it mixed up between the Elite and the Kingwell, both being at Wincanton. It was the Kingwell last time he ran in behind Goshen. That was just getting him back over hurdles and getting him started out. If he had jumped fences better, I would be backing him for any handicap he could get into of 143. So now that he's in a hurdle race, I've got to take a similar sort of view. So yeah, I'd put up Favoir because I think this is a massive talent.
Lovely stuff. And finally at Kelso, the 3:43 is the Bet365 Cyril Alexander Memorial Novices Limited Handicap Chase over 2 miles and a furlong. We've got 7 runners headed by Hardy DeSoy at 9-4. Then it's 4-1 Dubai Days, 9-2 Heartbreak Kid. Seymour Lights is 6, is Dino Velvet's 13-2, 9-1 Gold Desbois, and 11-1 Glen Truen. and it's Keith to go first.
I'd be faintly surprised if something outside the top two in the betting won this, to be honest. Hardy DeSoy, he is dropping down in grade a little bit. That Manila Drama run's pretty good. Although his runs is good form's not been, it's been on less testing ground than this. It's a race that Nick Alexander likes to win. I assume Cyril might be his father or certainly a relative, because he has won it a few times before and expressed in the past to have been delighted to win it. Dubai Days, I get a bit like Favoir, is a horse with a proper engine, certainly for a horse that's rated 119. The way he goes through races, you would be thinking he's a much better horse than that. Hasn't maybe jumped as well as he should have up to now. If the jumping clicks, he's got loads in hand off this mark. Bruce Lynn's taken off five. He's a solid enough £5 claimer. Dubai Days, I suspect what's happened here is Nick Alexander's looked at the horse in his yard that's potentially the best handicap for this race and thrown him into the Cyril Alexander Memorial. And Dubai Days, I'm not at all surprised to see that he's come down on that being that horse. And if he jumps, I think he'll look a tremendous bet at 4-1.
Righty-ho, David Jennings, do you have a strong view here?
Yeah, Keith Melrose said it better than I ever could. I just echo everything he said. It is all about jumping, but if Bruce Lynn can get him into a good rhythm early doors, he's well handicapped off 119. I don't think he's a thorough stare over 2.5 miles. I think this trip and this track is perfect for him. So Dubai Days for me as well, Bruce.
Splendid. We're off to Donnie next.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Right then, we've had the five ITV races at Kelso. Let's look at the other five. There's three at Doncaster and two at Newbury. We'll start with the 220 at Doncaster, which is the Virgin Bet Mares Novices Hurdle. The ground is soft and the trip is 3.5 miles, so you will need to stay. Get a Tonic, favourite for Dan Skelton at 5-4. It's 5-1, Miss Fairfax, 6-1, Holly Hartingo. 15-2 Gazette Bourgeois and 12-1 Bar, and it's David Jennings' turn to go first.
Oh, very boring, Bruce. I think Get a Tonic will win. I thought Miss Fairfax looked like a bit of a moody so-and-so last time at Catterick, even though she won by a wide margin in the end. She didn't look straightforward. It's anybody that took the 4-9 that day were petrified at halfway. Get a Tonic is rated £9 superior to her. And I'd say that's a fair reflection of how much she has in hand. I know Graham Rodway is a big fan of Get a Tonic, and I think Graham Rodway will be backing a winner here.
Keith, you putting your trust in the jolly?
I'm not betting in this race. I had a look through it, and you know it's going to end up a real slog. I just looked through and thought, I can't find anything here. I couldn't. It was like looking at the Rosetta Stone to me. So I've passed.
Right then, we move on now to the 255 at Donny, which is the Virgin Bet Handicap Chase over 2.5 furlongs. The big bite is Fav at 11-4. King Darjon and Malistic are 9-2. Cheddleton is 11-2. 6-1 Cedar Hill. And 15-2 Bun Durham. He's run really consistently without winning all winter. Will this be his day? 12-1 return ticket. Keith, lead on.
Yeah, it's unless I'm looking at it, and yeah, the big bite's been second to Fernando Silva the last time, who won the Game Spirit. I don't think the big bite really wants to win, to be quite perfectly honest. King Darjon, I thought they had bigger targets in mind that I'd be interested to see. The market goes with him. Ballistic's not run since last spring. Cedar Hill, it was a weak Scottish champion chase. Bundoran's faintly interesting. The horse that, this is much weaker than the races Cheddleton's been running in, basically, is what I'm getting at. And this horse, I thought he wanted 2.5 miles. I had him on my list for when he ran in the Warwick Castle last time, and I don't think he quite got home. So it might well be that 2 miles when the mud's flying is exactly what he wants. He's not won yet this season, but he's been, as I said, he's been placing in better races than this. He's been running to marks consistently in the mid to high 150s. His mark's got a pound now, but that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme. I just think this is a chance he's going to get. Conditions are going to be bang on. Doncaster's going to get quite testing. We know with Donny, yes, you go there in the winter for good ground, but when it does rain there, it gets really churned up. And then the second day of racing is going to be this Saturday, because they're racing there on Friday too. You're going to end up with a quite churned up ground at Donny. Cheddleton is likely to love that, and I think he can have his day in the sun.
Who do you like, David?
I like Melistic. Has had a wind operation, and going fresh is fine, I think. Hasn't been seen for 321 days, but he has run really well on the back of breaks before, and he was second to Protectorat, the Gold Cup contender, back in October of 2020 on the back of a 263-day break, and there was a big gap back to the third that day as well. I think of 145, I actually don't think he's that badly handicapped. When you look at how easily he won at Newcastle three starts ago off 140, he bolted up that day. I think £5 higher is not too bad. And obviously, he might have had issues because we haven't seen him since and he's had a wind off. But I do think he's quite unexposed for a horse that, that has shown up in a race like this. So, Melistic for me.
Okay. And finally, on Donny's ITV card, we've got the 330. It's the Virgin Bet Grimthorpe handicap chase over 3 miles, 2.5. Often some entry clues on offer here. Le Milos is fav at 3-1. Storm Control fives. Mr. Malarkey sixes. So You Think So again is sixes. Cloth Cap, interesting to see him at 13-2. 7 Powerstown Park. And it's 10-1 bar. We've got just the 8 runners. DJ, what do you make of this? There's a few people saying that Cloth Cap can atone for last year's entry disappointment. He's going to have to go a little bit better here than he did last time, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know. Like, for a horse that used to look so straightforward, I just don't know. I didn't like what I saw last time at Ascot. I don't know what to make of him. Like, he's just one of them horses that, like, it's hard to believe. He started 11-2 favourite for the Grand National. 11-2 is a pretty sharp price to start. I'd say he was one of the shorter favourites in recent years for the Grand National. I don't know. I'd be willing to take him on. I know Le Milos is reasonably short at around 3-1, but he's a seven-year-old, very much on the up. And Deja Abba, who I was a big fan of and I tipped last time at Sandown, Deja Abba had every chance to go by and Le Milos just stuck his neck out and wouldn't accept defeat. I thought that was a fair effort. And I thought it was a big step up from what he'd done previously. Wasn't a bad race. Five-star getaway was third and under supervision was back and forth. He runs again here now. I think he's progressed nicely. And I think the key thing is the ground. I think it's going to take a bit of getting, as Keith said earlier. The softer, the better for Le Milos. And I think a few of those that he's running against mightn't just enjoy it as much as him. So Le Milos will be my selection.
Keithy?
Yeah, I mean, to touch on Cloth Cap briefly, I was one of those people. I backed him for the National at something like 66-1 after Ascot because I've cited the conversation before. Apparently, one of the last things Trevor Hemmings said to John Joe O'Neill was make sure you win the National with him this year. And when you give John Joe O'Neill that sort of permission, you know there's only going to be one race that horses train for all season. So yes, he choked a bit in the Grand National, and the horse that's not seeing his races out after choking is a bit of a worry. John Joe then said he hurt himself at Ascot, actually, which was made me feel a little bit better because that did look quite bad. Basically, I think the horse hasn't been fit all year. The National weights are out now. He's actually got a pound lower than he had in last year's National, and I'm expecting to see much more from him. That said, I don't think they want to give him a hard race 5 weeks before Aintree in what's going to end up being quite churned up ground at Doncaster. So even though I backed him straight after Dex for this race, I've actually gone off him a little bit since. I then thought about Powerstown Park because I think this horse has just been, he's been a revelation up in trip so far this winter. But in between his two wins at Hereford, he basically drowned in bad ground at Market Racing on Boxing Day. So then I've went off him a little bit and I've ended up back on Storm Control, who should have won the Sky Bet last time. He's a funny horse. He throws his head about under pressure when he gets to the front, or he tends to go from the front, but he throws his head about it late in the day. And that was as much as anything to do with how Windsor Avenue caught him last time. I thought he shaped as well as Windsor Avenue in that race, to be perfectly honest. And obviously I've tipped that horse for the Premier Chase. He only got £4 for that. You know, he'd still be relatively well treated off 141, and he's still got the same £10 claimed off by Dara McConville. So Storm Control in a race where I went, jumped off one and jumped off another, and I don't think Le Milos is a 3-1 shot for a race like this. Storm Control for me.
Okay, Keith loves a 3 mile, 2 furlong handicap chase, which is just as well because our next race is over that trip. It's the 115 at Newbury. It's the Play Pick 6 and Win £1,000 Veterans Handicap Chase. 8 runners. Asso, good old Asso, is 11-4 fav. Indy 5 is 130. Corto Rico 4-1. Prime Venture 13-2, and it's 9-1 bar. Keith, who do you like here?
Oh, it's a proper race where there's so few I genuinely fancy, Bruce. You know, Asso over 3.2 in soft grounds. Like, are you serious? I mean, one day he'll be 2 well handicapped and he'll win, but it's He doesn't want to be going 3 miles. And he wants to be in a veterans chase, yeah, but he wants a shorter one, really. I thought behind him it was quite weak, however, so I need to find something in there. And I actually thought Cautorico is the main bet in the race. He's been running well in good handicaps, and he finished second, actually, beating a half a length by 2 for Gold at Doncaster in December, then off a similar mark to what he's got today. And since then, you know, he ran in the New Year's Day 2.5 mile handicap at Cheltenham, so a really hot handicap. And then next time, he was a bit flatter to finish as close to Chantry House as he did in the Cotswolds Chase, but look, he was running in the Cotswolds Chase, so any sort of sign of life from that we can take as a bit of a positive back into this sort of company. So yeah, Cautorico's a bet for me in this race. What I will be doing, though, is I'll be watching him in this race, and if Stan Shepherd blasts off on Indy 5, I'll be worried. Might even have a saver if he does that, because this is a very quirky horse, but quite a talented one. And with so few in the race that I fancy, I don't get too squeamish about backing two if it comes to it. So Cautorico's the bet, but watch out for Indy 5 and Stan Shepherd getting cheeky.
Okay, thank you, Keith. David Jennings?
I'm of a similar opinion to Keith. Me and Indy 5 go way back, and he's just a bit mad, isn't he, Keith? He's just a bit mad. He could do anything.
You could say, yeah, mad's one word for it.
Yeah, if he gets it into his head that this is the day and he gets clear in front, he will absolutely bolt up. But it's very hard to know what he's going to do. And another headbanger, so to speak, is Cautorico, who really should have won at Doncaster in December. I thought he had every chance to go past 2 for Gold. Now, maybe 2 for Gold was just too good for him, and maybe he was just too strong of a stayer that day. But I thought the whole way up the home straight, I thought Brian Hughes was definitely going to win. But I do think Cautorico is going to find this much easier than what he's been doing of late. Like, he went from the top of Madaintree to that race against 2 for Gold into that really competitive 2.5 mile handicap chase at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, and then into the Cotswold Chase. So he's going to find this. He's going to say to himself at halfway here, what's going on here? Usually I'm to the pin of my collar in races. I think he might actually enjoy it, and I think he might enjoy being in this comfort zone for longer. And I'm willing to take a chance that he might just go by, and hopefully this time he does, because I think, as Keith said, he's probably the most likely winner.
Splendid. Right then, at the final race that we're going to look at on the 10-race ITV Marathon on Saturday is the 2.5 mile BetVictor Greatwood Gold Cup handicap chase over, I've already told you what the trip is, 2 miles, 4 furlongs. And it's 4-1 the field. Blimey, lads, you've had some difficult old races. I know that this time of year, it's easy to just get fixated on Cheltenham, but this is taking some studying, this TV card, and particularly this race. 4-1 Fav is Dublin 4, 11-2 Glen Forster, 6 Senior Citizen, 6 Tamarok de Matin, 7 Farinet, Keith's old friend, 10-1 Paint the Dream, and 11-1 Barlet Sea. We've got 10 runners. Anyone offering 4 places? Pretty much everyone is. That's good news. Keith, who'd you like?
I tried, guys. I really tried. I tried with Tamarok de Matin. He's basically, you had a couple of issues with his 2 runs before Sandown, and the day that was Dolos's race. Dolos runs in the same colours, so I think that was just to get him started again. I tried with Paint the Dream. You know, he's got good form over this course and distance, or maybe slightly further at this course, and I think he's well handicapped of 147. I just couldn't quite convince myself to put up either, so I'm back on Farinet. I'm back on it. I do apologise. He could have. I always thought 3 miles was going to be his trip, and it didn't look like it particularly was at Sandown. He was a little bit wide behind Limulus in the Masters, but what it might not have been as much as the trip might also have been that this is just a horse that needs it deep. Because twice he's actually looked really, really good, have both been in bad ground over 2.5 miles at Sandown. So he's got the bad ground, he's got the 2.5 miles. He's just not got Sandown here. He's still, I'm convinced, well handicapped of 137. So 7-1 in a race that it's never the strongest grade 3, and it's not the strongest grade 3 again. I would just be kicking myself if I let him go and he won at that price in this race. So he gets one more chance. If he doesn't do it here, I'm just forgetting about him unless he's running at Sandown in bad ground.
Okay. I thought it was DJ and me who were just loyal to these horses until the end, but Keith's got a bit of loyalty on him as well. David Jennings, what do you make of this?
I'm going to do something you hate, Bruce, but can I do it?
Yeah, of course.
I've bagged Tamarok the Matan at 16-1 on Tuesday. I could not believe when the betting opened up in this race. It was like, you know, when you
should we just pause while the listeners give you a minute's applause and say how clever you are, and then
no, Yeah, I actually never do this, but I just remember clicking in to see the prices on Tuesday and thinking it was utterly bonkers that Tamarok de Matan was 16-1, because it was to me it was blatantly obvious that this was going to be his target for the last number of weeks. Like Nichols won this in 2012, 2013, 2015, 2016, and again in 2019. He knows what he needs, and I think in Tamarok de Matan he's got the perfect profiled horse for this race. This is a good horse. This is a horse that was second to Shishkin in the Wayward Lad Novices Chase the Christmas before last. Like, he had some okay horse behind him that day too in Elusive Bell and Gumball. He's obviously had his problems since then, but he's had a wind operation. This is second run after a wind operation. As Keith said, Sandown was just a blowout. Sandown was a case of just getting him out there, getting him back. You know, there's probably more cut in the ground than he would like. He likes decent ground, and it's drying out all the time at Newbury. If it keeps drying out, I think this horse will go off favourite. I think they'll keep backing him. He's down to a mark of 142. He was rated 150 last April. He's down £8 lower now. I'd say he's been laid out for the race, and I'd be very disappointed if he's not in the shake-up camera after Matan.
To be fair, I'd have backed him at 16-2.
Right, well, Keith, I and all the listeners will just jump in our TARDISes, go back to Tuesday and back Tamarok de Matan at 16-1. Thanks for that, DJ.
Well, I can say one thing in my defence. If you did watch another show, which the Racing Post produces on a Tuesday, you would see that I tipped up to that audience, which gets quite a few views, Tamarok de Matan at 16-1. So you can go back to Tuesday.
Not disputing it, DJ, I know you do play that Aren't I Clever card very, very sparingly. So fair play to you, but
I never have the card.
All right then, DJ. No, fair enough. Good luck with your 16-1 Tamarok de Matan. Right then, that was the TV fair. Let's see what else the boys fancy in just a jiffy.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post weekend postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday then. We've got all weather cards at Southall and Lingfield. We're racing in Navan, and we've also got the non-televised races at Kelso, Newbury and Doncaster. So fire away, Keith Melrose.
I'm afraid not this week. I think there's only one race that's on my beat that isn't on the telly, and it's the 4:12 at Newbury. I had a look at that race, and looked at the top horse and thought, oh yeah, I want to back that. Looked at the second horse, oh yeah, I want to back that, and did it for every single horse in the race. So I think that tells you that you should be watching the 4:12 at Newbury on Saturday, but I'm afraid I can't find a bet in it.
Okay, fair enough. DJ?
I have a couple at Navan for you, Bruce. Like Gentleman to me is skipping Cheltenham and she'll be very hard to beat in the Flying Boat Novice Chase 358. So maybe he's one for your multiples. But Gain the Cause runs in the 248, the handicap hurdle. Tony Martin has hit a new lease of life in the new year. His horses are really running well. And I think off 115, I think this horse has more to offer. I think even when he steps up and trip again, I think he's going to have even more to offer. Gain the Cause in the 248. Hopefully we'll be in around 2-1, 5-2, but I think he'll take a bit of beating. And later on in the card, an old buddy, old pal of mine runs in the 4:32, and I think he's actually well enough handicapped to win this race. The name escapes me, runs here for Noel Mead and Mark Walsh. He has ran well at Navan in the past. He's run off a mark of 120 over fences, and he's run over 3 miles over fences, which he doesn't do very often. And to me, off 120, he should take the world of beating in this race. He could be a double figure price too. I think he's... when he gets it right, he's a good horse. He's won some decent flat handicaps as well. So the name escapes me in the 4:32.
Lovely stuff. Before we get the Saturday naps, Keith, I think you've got one or two for us on Sunday, haven't you? It's not the most thrilling Sunday menu on the face of it. We're racing at Sedgefield and Huntingdon, as well as Leopardstown and Wexford. But what has your eagle eye been drawn to?
Oh, I was saving that for after the Saturday naps. No, I do have two on Sunday, Bruce. We've got Sedgefield. There's two Class 3 chases at Sedgefield. Neither have attracted big fields, unfortunately, and they both look pretty uncompetitive. the 203, the 3 mile three race. This is normally the weekend where Chidswell runs in the Grimthorpe. I think he's won the Grimthorpe. He's won that or the Skybet. He's placed in one loads and won one of them. But he's 13 now. He's rated 120 and he's running in this 203 at Sedgefield. There's very little else in the race that I would particularly be interested in. And it's not that long since Chidswell showed a decent amount of ability. He was fifth, beating not far behind Hold That Tot at Carlisle in the autumn. He was sixth in the Scottish National last year, actually, and also sixth in the Borders National. This is a completely much easier task, and I think he will be, you could potentially take the world of beating in the 203, but the main one is in the 313, the 2 mile five race at Sedgefield. I'm sure when the conditions are right, which usually means around 2.5 miles, not too stiff in terms of the fences, not too quick in terms of the ground, the Paddy Pie is actually pretty decent horse, certainly a horse that's miles ahead of a mark of 117. The last time he got these sort of conditions, he was second to Mr. Whipped, who was himself absolutely chucked in it. Weatherby, the horse that finished third, is a horse called Buster Valentine, who's since been second to, I think, another really well-treated horse. Since then, he's run over 3 mile one at Catterick. He doesn't stay that far. He just doesn't. So forget that run. He's been eased a pound for it. He's only £2 higher than when he was second to a handicap good thing at Weatherby. The Paddy Pie in this much weaker race should, for me, just win.
Beautiful, the Paddy Pie. Right, then let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
David Jennings, what have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, I think I could be wrong here, but I think I've done the podcast five times in 2022, and I think I'm 4 from 5. I think, and Pick Dory did me a favour last week. I know, no self-praise is no praise, and I shouldn't be gloating, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm all over that. That's brilliant. Great record. Four winning naps out of five is superb.
I think now, I could be giving myself an extra one, but I was trying to think back earlier, and I think I'm 4 out of 5. But anyway, so I was tempted to go for Tamarack the Matan, but I really want to keep this kind of decent record going. So I think Richmond Lake is going to be really, really hard to beat getting away from North Lodge in the 132 at Kelso. So hopefully we'll get off to a good, nice early start, around about 2-1, Richmond Lake in the 132 at Kelso.
Smashing. Cheers, DJ. Keith, what's your Saturday nap?
Yeah, my Saturday nap, but just to let the listeners know, those, they're all one-point bets, really. It's the Sedgefield ones that I really strongly fancy. The probably my best bet on Saturday is Cheddleton in the 255 at Donny.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That's great. Thank you for listening. Maddie's back on Monday. We're back next Friday for more great racing podcasts. Bet responsibly. Hope you can join us next week.